1, 2, 3. Welcome, Tucson. Back to the Creative City Show here for hour two on 1030 The Voice, where every day we share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, discuss, and debate the issues and themes that are crucial to getting there. And as we finish out our last hour of the week, there is perhaps not many more conversations that will be as tightly relevant to all those things I just said than conversations with candidates who are running for local office, who have ideas and strategies to share for our city, and who are in the thick of debating, discussing, and envisioning what could make our city the best possible place. And that is my intro to our conversation here in studio in the 11 o'clock hour. The guest sitting across from me today is Rob Elias, city council candidate for Ward 1. And I was kind of joking in the first hour that I'm planning to have all of the city council candidates in for a similar conversation about vision for the future of Tucson. But as it's turned out, I'm kind of starting backwards and going from the latest candidate in the race to probably, you know, back to the first. I don't know how it'll work out, but at least in this case, Rob is the newest addition to that race, and I'm starting from the latest, and we'll be heading backwards as it looks like. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. We'll talk background and work in Tucson, motivation to get in the race, what major platform issues Rob as a candidate is coming around. And then we'll also talk about how do we deliver prosperity to all of our community. I think that question on its own is an all-encompassing question that whether you are R or D or I or G or young or old or pro-growth or no-growth, I think everyone's asking that same question. Right. How do we deliver prosperity to all of our community? So I'm curious to ask that question and get Rob's thoughts on that, and that's gonna spin us away through the end of the hour. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. Again, I hope you are as well. So let's go ahead and get started. Rob, welcome to the studio. Thanks for making time out of your now crazy busy hectic schedule.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite.
How are you surviving?
I'm doing well so far. Knock on wood.
That's going to be my first question, I think, to every candidate: how are you surviving? Because I have genuine empathy for.
Yeah, you know, it's been a fun process, and I've deeply appreciated that.
Yeah, for sure. So tell me and tell us about your background and work in Tucson, just to get to know you a little better. What has Rob Elias been up to in the city for the last 10, 15, 20 years? Go back as far as you want.
Yeah, well,
go back as far as you want.
I guess I'll start back from when I was born. So,
well, that's a great place to start in Tucson.
So I am a native Tucsonan and deeply love this city. And spent the majority of my life here. The only time I really left Tucson is for a period of, you know, 3 to 5 months at a time when I was playing professional baseball. So, and that was in 2003, 2004. I'm sure I'm going to get the years wrong, but it's funny. Every conversation I have about myself, I think it's a fun fact that all of the schools I've attended, with the exception of my elementary school, have been on the same street.
Really?
Yeah. So I went to Robinson Elementary School, kind of the around the Reed Park area. Then I went to Mansfield Junior High, Tucson High School, Pima College, University of Arizona. So every single, like, with the exception of my elementary school, they've all been on the same street, which is kind of cool.
That's wild.
So after I got done playing baseball, I came back to Tucson, came back home, and started working, and kind of got into, I started with a local credit union here in town, and worked my way up. It took me only about a year and a half before I became vice president of marketing for that credit union. The credit union was Tucson Old Pueblo, the city's credit union, so they police, fire, city employees, and did that for about 3 years, and then stayed in the credit union industry, grew up a little bit, and went to a little larger credit union, Pima Federal, was their vice president of marketing for about 7 years. Now I'm the director of marketing at the Tucson Botanical Gardens, and it is just an amazing experience, certainly stress-free, and it has helped me get through this process of, uh-huh. of campaigning. So I just kind of take a walk around the gardens, and it soothes me a little bit.
That might be something you have on maybe other.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah. If they want passes, I'll take care of them.
You have nature to walk around.
That's
in.
Right.
But speaking of nature, Ward 1 has a lot of open space. It's really a mix of some recent development and open space, and I mean it's a geographically large ward. It stretches up fairly far north and fairly far south. What do you love about Ward 1?
It's proximity to really everything in town. Any place I go, which is, you know, downtown, 4th Avenue, the university area, I can just get on the freeway and come east. I can get on the freeway and head north. The views are amazing. The Tucson Mountains are incredible. There are two fantastic Pima College campuses in Ward 1. All those things are great, but the thing that I love the most about Ward 1 on the west side is just the culture and the heritage of the pockets of neighborhoods in there. It's just, they're beautiful homes, beautiful people, and that's something that we need to protect.
For sure. I guess my last question, just in ways of getting to know you a little better, is what motivated you to get into the race? What was that moment where you said, I got to be in it, and,
sure.
and why? What was that tipping point?
Well, I've always grown up with two incredible parents that have told me the greatest thing that we can provide is our service to others. And that's something that I've tried to live my life by through my 40 years on this planet so far. Tucson, in my opinion, has reached a tipping point. And the decisions that we make now will impact Tucson for generations to come. And I really want a seat at that table to be able to influence and shape Tucson in a way that I think it needs to be shaped. I commend the current council and mayor for the work that they've done, but we have a lot more to do. And I think I can help influence it.
So that's a good segue as any into what are the issues that you see as important to Tucson's future? What makes up your platform? What are the things that you want to influence on the council?
Sure. Well, we need to maintain a balance among many different factors of issues that we have in the city. Job growth is certainly one that is near and dear to my heart. Being a businessman in Tucson, I've been in leadership capacity for a better part of 20 years here in Tucson, and I've seen a lot in a lot of different industries. And we need to continue to recruit great companies that pay their employees well, that treat their employees well, so we can be able to provide the adequate services that the city provides. Safety, security, and police and fire, great public parks, a great transportation plan. I think we've done a great job with roads with passing of 101 a couple of years ago. But we still have a lot more to do. So that's one thing. The environmental impact is one that I really that I care deeply about. So I certainly want to talk about that. I think Tucson could be more progressive in those, with those types of topics.
Right. If you're just joining us, this is my conversation with Rob Elias. I should mention a Democratic candidate for Ward 1. There's now four candidates on the Democratic side for running for Ward 1 City Council. You are one of them, mm-hmm. and we're about, 98-99 days away from primary, something like that.
Yeah.
And that's the conversation I'm having today. You are speaking a little bit more specifically about roads and public safety and things like that. As you look at the position and what you'd be able to influence maybe on a budget side or so on and so forth, how do you feel about how our parks are looking, our police department,
right.
our fire department? How are you, and if you are, how are you prioritizing maybe that in your mind? And is it different from maybe what you sense other candidates are? Or,
sure.
If you could dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, so It's a balance with the budget, and you're going to hear me use that word a lot, balance, over the course of our conversation here, because we have to be practical, we have to be responsible, and we have to be good stewards of our taxpayer dollars. And when you talk about public safety, as a hopeful political, you know, elected leader in the city, one of the most important jobs that we would have as an elected official is the safety and security of our constituents and of our citizens. And if we're not providing that, then what else are you doing? You asked me specifically about parks. As I drive around Tucson, especially the parks in Ward 1, I'm not happy with the state of the parks, but I am happy that something's being done about that. There has been a lot of money being pumped into the parks and will continue to be pumped in the parks over the next year or so. So a lot of the parks are going to be redone, more walkable paths, greener grass, just a smarter, more efficient service for our community.
Right. One of the, this is kind of an off-the-cuff curiosity question. I'm just curious if you have a thought on it, because it's been top of mind for me this week. I started this week with the Pima County Board of Supervisor news that they were looking at proposing a $26 million general fund expenditure over 5 years on road repair. Mm-hmm. And it just, and throughout the week, I've just been processing it. The other day I talked about the city of Tucson budget and how you mentioned the bond. The bonds are good, but mm-hmm. but if we look at national trends of cities around the country, we can't survive by bonding this stuff out. We can't right. be bonding parks. We can't be bonding roads. We can't be bonding, this is my opinion at least, from, again, research nationally, we can't be bonding public safety. We've got to, whether it's at a city, a county, a state level, we got to figure out how to make our general fund be able to support these on a rolling basis. And unfortunately, I think straight out of the city manager's office, we're getting that tone. That's one of the things that is biggest on his mind, is making sure that we're growing the general fund to be able to support these things year in, year out without having to have an election around right. it. Is that something you agree with? And if so, what are some either efficiencies or reallocations or ways that you'd expand the budget to get there? Have you thought about that or have any thoughts on that?
I do have some thoughts on that. And that was, there's a lot to unpack there, Zach. But the thing,
I know I'm bad or good at that. I'm sorry. I'm one of the two.
No, that's okay. I would be, I agree with you. I think bonds are fantastic. I don't think they're sustainable. And when you talk about the issue of bonds and parks, it is my belief that parks have been neglected over the past 10 to 20 years. So a bond, we almost needed that bond to be passed in order to kind of give ourselves a jolt of success in that area. And you're right, they're not sustainable. But hopefully, with this bond approval, and then we get some added amenities to parks, we won't need to do that all the time, especially for parks. Now streets, on the other hand, are a different issue, again for the same reasons, because it's been neglected over, you know, year over year over year. This mayor and council actually have, they were proactive in trying to get that passed, and it didn't just benefit streets and parks, but also benefit public safety as well, and getting firefighters the resources they need to do their job effectively.
For sure. No, I think that's a balanced view of it. And I was talking to somebody the other day about this on a county level. You know, there was a bond passed, and their view was, you know, there it was almost an emergency measure to get back to a par. So I think there's something to what you said there. I just think that this is an editorial. This is nothing you have to respond to unless you want to. I think we got to get to that point where,
all right.
you know, where there's general fund dollars for this stuff. So you mentioned kind of your main platform item, just to kind of round us out here before we dig into some things in the next segment. Your platform, your issues are economy, better paying jobs, and improved education, our community, protecting Tucson's residents and neighborhoods, our environment, protecting Tucson's natural beauty. So kind of those three things there, if you had to keep it simple.
Yes.
And you do on your aliasfortucson.com site Rob Elias for Tucson City Council.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Could you speak to a little bit more on each of those, better paying jobs and improved education? What does that look like to you in a couple of sentences? And we'll kind of do that with each and then turn the corner.
Yeah. So I'm a product of public education here in Tucson. I grew up in Tucson School District. My dad was an American history teacher and taught for 40 years at a little bit of time at Utterback, and spent the majority of his time teaching at Sahuarita High School. My mom was an educator back in college before her and my dad started a family. So I have a big soft spot in my heart for educators. I believe that what we value gets funded, and it has been apparent that the state of Arizona does not value education the way we believe, at least the way I believe it needs to be valued. And unfortunately, the local government is kind of handcuffed by state government. It's kind of funny how that works, where state government doesn't like to be handcuffed by the federal government, but yet they're doing the same to local governments. That's a whole different topic. Sorry if I digress a bit on that. But we need to do a better job paying our teachers. And at the same time, when we do that, they need to be held more better accountable of being sure that our kids get the education that they need and that they deserve. I hope I answered your question on education with that. Those are my beliefs. You also asked me about better paying jobs.
Yeah.
So with the, it's kind of been a combination, a multifaceted approach to bring better businesses and better jobs to Tucson. I think Sun Corridor's done a good job. I think Rio Nuevo has done a good job. I think the current mayor and council have done a really good job bringing businesses like Caterpillar to, especially the west side, you know, the Ward 1 area. I think that's fantastic. What we need to balance, though, Zach, is bring in these incredible businesses, but we also need to be mindful of what they're doing to the neighborhoods. And that's something that is a hot topic right now. You touched upon earlier with gentrification. It is a hot topic, but we need to keep progressing. We need to keep Tucson moving forward, so long as it's done in a responsible way that we don't leave anybody behind.
Right. Absolutely. The way you answered that question, I think, kind of leads well to, let's do this. Let's talk about your other two platform items as a part of the question that I want to kind of focus our second segment around. That is, how do we deliver inclusive prosperity to our entire community? It speaks to something that you mentioned of how do we get to a response. This is me editorializing it. I'm not going to put these words in your mouth. That wouldn't be fair to you. These are at least mine. I don't know if you agree or not. But how do we get to yes in our community in a more responsible way? And in doing so, making sure that the yeses that we get to are raising wages, preserving neighborhoods, creating jobs, retaining our talent. I feel like all that touches on a couple of the other platform items we didn't get to. So if you don't mind, maybe what we'll do is head to a break here, go visit some sponsors. And when we come back, that'll be our question. How do we deliver prosperity to all of our community? How would Rob Elias, as a Ward 1 city council person, bring a productive balance to some of the tensions and issues that we are facing in our community? Sound good?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Look forward to it.
And that has been part one of my conversation with Rob Elias, Ward 1 City Council candidate on the Democratic side. He's one of four Democratic candidates running for that office, which Councilwoman Regina Romero will be vacating at the end of the year in her pursuit of running for mayor of Tucson. So it's an open Ward 1 seat, and Rob is one of four individuals competing to fill that seat. You are on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be back to dig into a little bit of policy and issues and some nitty gritty. I'm looking forward to it with Rob Elias. Tucson, don't go away. Come on right back. Tucson, welcome back to the show. You are on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. And if you're just joining us, part one of this hour was spent with Rob Elias, a Democratic candidate for the Ward 1 City Council office as we head into the primary end of August. We're about 95, 98 days out, I believe, if I'm counting right, from the Democratic primary. There are four candidates in Ward 1 running for that seat. Rob Elias is one of them. And I plan to interview all four of the candidates. And as it's turned out, I'm kind of starting from the latest entrant, maybe to one of the first entrants with Rob here. And we're having a good time talking Tucson issues that impact you and I, and talking strategies and ideas that will shape Tucson's future. If you miss any of the first part of my interview, go to kvoi.com/podcast to catch up. And thank you for joining us here on this hour. So Rob, we got into some good conversation and figured that we could kind of mesh some of the going into details on your platform with my third question, which is kind of a big umbrella question, and that is, how do we deliver prosperity to all of our community? How do we balance growth and sustainability and neighborhood sustainability in a productive way? I know that these are issues that you are thinking constantly about these days, that you're being asked right. constantly about. Yeah. So I'm curious to get in your head on that a little bit. A lot of cities are seeing challenges where economic development at the top is not really trickling down to kind of the middle and lower classes. And that's not a political statement. That's just looking at graphs over time. There are some strategic ways we as communities have to make sure that we are developing in a way where everyone's getting to benefit. And I think a lot of the questions that you're probably having to deal with over in Ward 1 deal with that tension and concern that it's not happening.
No doubt.
So how do we balance development with neighborhoods and community?
Well, one of the most important things that we need to do to maintain that balance is continue the conversations with our neighborhoods and our neighbors. And I believe that's one of the things that we've gotten away from over the past, 5 to 10 years, that we forgot how to be neighbors.
Yep.
And that's really something that I want to bring back. So the balancing of growth while still maintaining the uniqueness of Tucson has to start with getting all of the people at the table. And certainly the neighborhoods play a huge part in that. The neighborhoods that we have, especially on the west side, and I know there are other wards and other pockets of Tucson that experience the same thing. The culture is so rich because those stories that we've had from generation to generations have been passed down. I don't want those things cannot go away. We need to start having our block parties again and start having our neighborhood potlucks and things like that. But getting back to the issue you talked about is we need to re-engage our neighborhoods and talk about the type of growth that we see the vision for with Tucson. Growth is a fantastic thing so long as it's done responsibly, and then it has buy-in from everybody that should have a say-so in the growth of its city. On the west side especially, we just had a large business move in with Caterpillar. It's changed the dynamic of the neighborhood. I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all. And I wasn't privy to the discussions prior to Caterpillar moving to Tucson. But the conversations need to continue to be had with great pockets of neighborhoods like Menlo Park area, the Mercado District. Those are people that have a say-so in this area. You know, Mission Gardens is another one. That's the birthplace of Tucson, very important. But we need to do a better job of engaging our community and engaging them not just in development, but engaging them in all issues that impact them as Tucsonans. Because a lot of people get wrapped up in the national news of the day, mm-hmm. and they forget how important things like parks are, or our water resources are, or public safety, things that the city actually touches and has control over. We need to get them re-engaged in those conversations.
Right. So let's maybe look at this piece by piece, because again, it's a huge part of your platform, as you stated on your website. What is Rob Elias's economic development strategy, both as a city leader, as someone who's a part right. of city conversations, but also specifically for Ward 1? Let's start there, and then we can talk about the neighborhood part in a second. What's your economic development strategy?
Sure. Well, we need to do a better job. And when I say better, I'm not, that's not implying that the current mayor and council have done a bad job. So I just want to set, make that straight. I think we can do a better job attracting greener businesses, or even businesses that carry the values that Tucson carries. And that's what gets people acclimated to the city. That's what keeps Tucson unique, and that's how it should continue to be. I think the city needs to work with the county, needs to work with Rio Nuevo, needs to work with Sun Corridor, and get all of these organizations to say, what are we looking for? What are the type of businesses we need to do? And actively start recruiting those companies. The two or three person economic development staff that we have in the city is just, it's inadequate. It really is. We need to stop thinking that we're a small city, and we need to start thinking with bigger vision, be more forward thinking, and what's good for us in 2050, not 2020 or 2021. It's those conversations that need to be had, and I feel like I'm the person to have them.
Do you feel like there's necessary and optimal support for small businesses? Do you feel like there's priority for larger companies and organizations? When you look at that small and mid-sized business versus a larger business,
right. yeah.
what's your analysis of that landscape in
yeah.
Tucson? And does there need to be any kind of either greater attention in one area or the other, or reallocation of resources? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, historically, it's shown that we have the Tucson, through tax incentives or whatever, have done a better job recruiting larger companies. I don't want to say we've done a bad job providing resources to small businesses, but I feel we can do better. That is an area of growth where I feel we can provide, the city in general can provide greater resources to assist the small business. Now, Tucson is made up of small businesses. There's no doubt about that. And so when small business can grow and thrive, that is great for Tucson. I would like nothing more than to see the small businesses that started here grow into something much larger. There's no reason. I was having a conversation a few weeks ago with Howard Schultz. I was lucky enough to have a conversation with Howard Schultz, and we talked about his growth with Starbucks starting in Seattle from 11 stores to the time he left left tenure as CEO. So we need to have conversations with people that have done it, that have taken a small business and grown it into something larger. But at the same time, can't forget those small businesses that are still small, that want to remain small, to ask them what resources do they need to help their company become more sustainable.
Right. I haven't heard that before. That's a good one. So we've covered as much as we can, I think, here. Just to make sure we cover everything in our time, better paying jobs and what that looks like on a small business level and a bigger company level. Let's shift to one of your platform elements is protecting Tucson's residents and neighborhoods. How have you seen maybe either a focus or a prioritization of economic and business interests in the community, maybe challenge the sustainability and effectiveness of neighborhoods and residents, or maybe that's not a problem in your view, and would love to hear that too. How do we balance the economic needs of our community with the neighborhood and resident needs? And same question, what kind of resources or reallocation of a time and energy and attention need to be made in that area, if you have any?
Sure. Well, I'm not an expert on the city budget just yet. I've had lots of discussions with the city manager about a lot of things, but I'm not on city council right now, and I don't know all the ins and outs of the budget and where the money's being allocated and how it's being allocated. What I can tell you is this, Zach. What I aim to be as a city council member for Ward 1 is to be accessible to my constituents, and to actually hear what they have to say and listen to their concerns and listen to their suggestions and ideas. that's what our job is. We have to be connected to our community. We have to be connected to our citizens. And if somebody has a concern or suggestion or idea for the city, or maybe there's something out there that we just don't know about yet, and nobody's brought it to our attention, we need to have those conversations. So first and foremost, our job is to be accessible to our constituents. Getting back to your question about neighborhoods, and I'm probably going a bit ahead of you a little bit and talking about maybe displacement or gentrification or anything like that, is I see two areas of concern with gentrification. One is, of course, displacement. Nobody wants to see their, be priced out of their home. Nobody wants to see that. So I think there are resources put in place now, but we can provide greater resources so that doesn't happen in the future. And the second thing that people are concerned about, this was not getting talked about as much, it's not so much that people from out of town or from different cultures are moving into the neighborhood. It's the people that live there believe that the brand and the historical nature and the heritage is becoming diluted because people from outside of Tucson are moving in and don't really understand the values and the cultures that we have within those neighborhoods. Which kind of gets me back to the topic where I mentioned earlier about we need to continue to have great stories, have great dialogue with those people that have lived in those historic neighborhoods over the past six decades. You know, my a dear close friend of the family lives at the base of Bay Mountain. She's 95 years old, and she's phenomenal, just a phenomenal woman. She lives by herself with her dog, and she's lived there for decades. I do not ever want to see a time where she gets displaced out of her home because the cost of her home is too much or the property taxes are too much for her to bear. That's, if we're not protecting those people, then we're not doing our job. At the same time, this issue is not unique to Tucson. This was being experienced 20 years ago in cities like New York and LA and Seattle. So what can we learn from those things? This is an issue that happened, it was started 20 years ago.
Yep.
So what can we learn about these things to make Tucson better prepared so that we can handle this in the future? And we're not going to be the last community to experience this as well.
Right.
So everything is learning. We have to try. We have to try new things. So that's how I feel about that.
Let me dig in a little bit that too, because you're hinting at some really interesting points. One of the things that I'm noticing in my neighborhood is a little bit of pressure on both directions, both ends of the spectrum. What I mean is, often as economic development happens, as re-engagement of a neighborhood happens, as revitalization of a neighborhood happens, we talk a lot about the gentrification and displacement, right? Often the city, as a big C, will say, well, I don't understand why you people wouldn't be glad that your property is going up in value, right? And there's a cultural statement of value behind that without realizing that a lot of the residents that you'd be looking to serve in Ward 1 don't see their home as a wealth creator. They see their home as a generation stabilizer.
No doubt.
As a place where they want to pass it down to their family, and can't do that if property taxes keep going up, if the culture of the neighborhood is changing. So I think that whatever end of the philosophical spectrum you are, I think it is a good neighbor stance to say that if you are 80 and you live in your home and you lived in your home for four generations, as a city, we should make sure that we do everything in our ability to make sure that you can live there. The other problem is people that look like you and me, 20s, 30s, and 40s, who want to move into the neighborhood are not able to afford to move into the neighborhood.
Right.
And you see that in downtown. If you want a one or two studio a two-bedroom apartment, you better pony up $1,200 to $1,500. That's almost 50% more than I pay for my mortgage.
Right.
And so we are not only pricing out the older, maybe more vulnerable, which mm-hmm. we should care about. We're also pricing out a talented workforce. And what we're seeing in those countries that are, or in those cities that are 20 years ahead, is that that is creating a lot of instability and a lack of workforce retention that causes problems on both ends. So I've always said that whether you are a chamber of commerce or a neighborhood activist group, this issue of housing accessibility is one that we should all care about. That was my roundabout.
No doubt.
And this is a huge issue to me. So forgive me for getting on my soapbox there. It all leads to this question, and that is, how do we make sure that housing remains accessible?
Right.
Whether you're the young professional who wants to move into the exurbs or the urban core when development happens, and what are some of the policies and things that you are developing or you're seeing through the county or city that help an older resident stay, right? So how do we help people stay who want to stay?
Mm-hmm.
How do we keep housing affordable for those who want to move in?
Right. Well, the whole notion of affordable is based on perspective.
That's why I use the term accessibility.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. So Tucson, if you compare Tucson to our comp cities, our housing is still relatively affordable. Of course, I use that term in perspective.
Still and relatively?
Right. Exactly. It's definitely an issue that needs to be addressed. Do I have all the answers of how to do that? I don't right now, but it's something that I would absolutely love to work on with the other city council members and the mayor, whoever that's going to be. But certainly something that it's those 20s and 30s that the people that want to move in those old homes, those beautiful historic homes with so much character, if those things get priced out of the market, then it will no doubt change the landscape of neighborhoods, which is why again, I go back to it. We need to be neighbors again. So if somebody needs help with something, we go help. If there's a 90-year-old woman that has weeds growing out of her yard, we need to band together as neighbors and go take care of that. Regarding the things that we can do from a city perspective or from the county perspective to help these people stay in their homes, there's still low-income tax incentives that we could pull from to help those people stay in those homes. We could maybe set a ceiling on rent on some of those homes for if you've been in your home for an extended period of time, whatever that may be. There are things that we have not tried yet that we still can. So it's not an issue that I feel is insurmountable. We can certainly solve this issue, but it's going to take input from everybody. It's going to take input from city officials, from county officials, from neighborhoods. And we're all going to need to come sit down at the table and say, what are we doing about this? Because we cannot lose the traditions and the heritage and the cultures that these neighborhoods have built over for centuries. Barrio Bonita is a phenomenal neighborhood. And I go to that, I go buy my tortillas there all the time. That area cannot change. As far as it can change, it can be cleaned up, it can look better, but the cultures and the heritage that have been built there for centuries, I hope that never goes away.
Yeah.
It's what makes Tucson, Tucson.
It's what makes Tucson, Tucson. One of my other guests said, you know, I don't want to live in Tucson and feel like I'm in anywhere USA. And once you lose that individuality and grit, you don't get it back.
Right.
You can't get it back.
Right.
So I personally share with that sentiment. I would love to hear from you if you can stay a little past the time that we agreed.
Sure.
If that's okay with you. I think this will help bring us home as well in terms of some of the topics that I wanted to talk with you about. Ward 1 is a pretty large ward north to south. It goes up a ways, Silver Bell. It goes south into southern, not south Tucson, but southern Tucson.
Yeah, just south of Valencia.
South of Valencia, and then it's obviously west side of Tucson. I'm curious to hear, as you're knocking on doors, as you're getting petitions, signatures signed, what are neighbors telling you? What are the issues that people seem to be caring about the most? I'm really curious to hear what you're hearing as you're out about different events and you're in the ward. If you can stay, we'll head to a break, and then we won't cram that in. That'll close us out on the hour. We'll
Fantastic.
Focus on that because I'm curious what you're hearing out there. Tucson, this was part two of my interview with Rob Elias, a Ward 1 City Council candidate on the Democratic side for the Ward 1 City Council seat. When we come back, we'll close out the hour and close out this interview with a what is he hearing on the doorsteps of Tucson homes? What do Tucsonans care about the most? And what do they want to make sure that their city council candidates are hearing? That's where we're going to go, and that's where we're going to finish on the other side of the break. 10:30 The Voice, don't go away. Tucson, welcome back to the show. You are on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. If you're just jumping in or joined us recently, we were able to squeeze out a few more minutes of time. Rob Elias's time, a city council candidate in Ward 1. He's one of four Democratic candidates for the Ward 1 city council office. We have him here in the studio to talk background, motivation for getting in the race, major issues that are important to Tucson's future, his platform, and how do we deliver prosperity to all of our community at a, as you say, and as I say as well, a moment of tipping point, a tipping point moment of change. How do we make the right decisions? And I was curious, and again, Rob was kind enough to stay over a few extra minutes. As you're knocking on doors, as you're getting petitions signed, as you're at different events, and doing all the kind of canvassing that you're having to do, what are you hearing from neighbors and residents about what they're wanting as Ward 1 residents, what they want of the city, what they're most concerned about? What is on the mind of the West Side Ward 1 Tucsonan?
Well, as you mentioned before we went to break, how diverse Ward 1 is.
And
it
really
is. It's a blessing to have that much diversity in a segment in Ward 1 in Tucson. There are a couple things that I'm hearing a lot about. Number one is just accessibility to their council member. When they call the council member's office, they want to be able to talk to somebody. They want a phone call back. If they send an email, they want a response. They want a meeting with the council member. They should be able to have the accessibility to their council member, and that's something that I'm really going to focus on. Should I be lucky enough to be elected? Another thing that I'm hearing a lot about is the recycling program that is going to be changing soon. So what I did is I called Carlos De La Torre, who is the Director of Environmental Services from the City of Tucson, and I had a great conversation with him and our partner with Republic Services yesterday down at the recycling plant. There are a couple things. Areas of concern and a couple just kind of aha moments as I was going through that tour and learning about what we do is Tucson does a very poor job at the contamination rate of what we put in the blue bin. And as I'm watching the people that are there sifting through our what's supposed to be recyclables, there are 2x4s and cactus and mattresses and propane tanks and grocery bags, all of which do not fit within the city's scope of what's recyclable, of the recycle program. So my constituents are talking a lot about that because a lot of them we are a part of Tucson that cares deeply about the environment, and we want to do everything that we can to help protect it. You know, Tucson, I think, can be this progressive city that's cutting edge on what it means to be an environmental city. And I think we can do a better job of that. I hope for the opportunity.
For sure. So you're hearing accessibility, you're hearing recycling and just kind of clearing up some confusion around that, which every other week am I, and it is
right.
A little confusing. Anything else that you're hearing out on the streets from the Ward 1 residents?
Just the beauty of the West Side. The Tucson Mountains are absolutely picturesque, and they are beautiful, and people don't want to see that change too much. But at the same time, they understand that there's a balance between growth of the city. They know that a lot of people want to move to the West Side because it is so beautiful and so close proximity to everything. But they want it within reason, and they want a voice at the table to voice their opinion. And if their opinion goes, if their council member doesn't approve or doesn't agree with what their stance is, they want that council member to say, "This is why I voted the way I did." As an elected official, we need to be held accountable for the decisions that we make, and I will be that council member.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons, this is my editorialness, don't comment, you probably don't want to. This is one of the reasons why I'm a huge proponent of finally, once and for all, pay raises for mayor and council. Right now, city councils are only required to be part-time. And it's a 100,000 person ward. I mean, it's a lot of people. It's hard to serve that diversity, that issue, that population, with limited time and limited energy that's kind of built into the system. So again, this is not something that you have to comment on.
Right.
This is Zach's editorialness.
All right.
Is 100,000 people in that ward, in every ward around the city, are expecting a lot more engagement than is happening. On the planning side, right, it's a $6 million annual budget for planning and development services. It's
right.
a tiny, tiny slice of a billion-dollar budget. The public-facing part of development and planning is also suffering, I think, from what you're talking about, a lack of accessibility. And when you have communities that can't communicate with their leaders, the formula is pretty plain. And I think you're sensing some of that tension in Tucson.
Yeah, it's simple, Zach. It's not difficult. We need to be accessible and we need to listen. Those are the things that my constituents want.
Right. Well, we are rapidly heading towards the end of our hour here. Thank you for that extra time. Before I give it one more time over to Rob Elias to close out with any announcements or anything maybe that you need to share regarding your candidacy for the Ward 1 City Council office, just again, want to thank one of our wonderful sponsors, Summers Financial Management. It is a financial management company. Whether you are trying to save for retirement or set up a financial plan, or you have wealth that you want to manage, Adam Summers and his team are just an excellent group of people who have applied what they will teach and share to themselves, have grown their wealth and their finances. A great down-to-earth guy. He'll spend an hour with you. I like to talk about this a lot. If you call him, contact him at summersfinancial.com. Get an hour with him. Have a cup of coffee. See if you guys are compatible. A really great community guy, really smart financial planner, and a great resource that you should tap into. Tucson, if that relates to you, again, summersfinancial.com, Summers with an O. Rob Elias, what's next for you on the campaign trail? Anything that you want listeners to know to check you out or to learn more about you?
Yeah, you know, I was having an interesting conversation with one of my constituents the other day, and as I've had a lot, and they asked me, if you had one wish for Ward 1, what would it be? And I said, just vote. And I hope that's for me, but be engaged. Be engaged in the issues. And my one wish should be granted is just vote. Come August 27th is the primary, and I would deeply appreciate your vote. I humbly ask for your vote. I want to be your voice on City Council to help move Tucson forward.
And that's Elias, E-L-I-A-S, for Tucson, the letters F-O-R, Elias for Tucson.com for more information.
Sir. Yeah.
Well, sir, thank you for your time. Thank you for jumping in to serve. I will say that to everybody. This is not an easy job, either before getting it or actually when you get it. Thank you for jumping in. Thank you for
your service. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate that.
And all the best. Rob Elias for City Council, Ward 1 seat, one of four Democratic candidates. Do not go anywhere, Tucson. The Buckmaster Show closes out strong on Fridays. The first half of the show, Steve Christie from the Pima County Board of Supervisors calls in. Then the Friday Roundtable, Dylan Smith and Joe Ferguson are in the studio, and Matt Russell closes things out with Weekend Watch. And then come on back, Tucson, beginning next week for more on the Creative City Show as we talk about stories and strategies and ideas and people shaping Tucson's future. It's been a great week. Thanks, Tucson. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Have a great weekend.